Lord God, when you came not to establish a religious order, but you came to seek and to save those who are lost. You came to set the captive free, to cause the blind to see and the lame to walk and the deaf to hear and the dead to rise. Lord God, in this place, I pray you would make all of the above happen. For those who are deaf here, Lord, unstop their ears. They can hear your spirit today. For those who are blind, that they can be restored and they can see the gospel and see who you are today. For those that are captive to sin and to addictions and temptations, God, I pray you would release them and cause chains to fall. And I pray, Lord, for those who may be dead in their trespasses, today they will be made alive. And Lord God, we ask that you do this in your name and for your glory's sake, because the same Jesus that came to do all of that, he's accomplished all of that, and he's the same Jesus that lives today. And Lord God, we pray that you move in our midst, save those who need to be saved, release those who need to be released, convict those who need to be convicted. Lord, do a work in this place, not for our sake, because this is our time to worship you. Do it, God, for your sake, so you'll be blessed and you'll be honored. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, folks. Y'all may be seated this morning. We are looking in the book of John. We're wrapping up the Gospels, and we're going to be going into the book of Acts this next week. So our next reading assignment is Acts chapters 1 to 8. So take the opportunity to read those chapters. If some of y'all have not been reading God's Word, this is a great time to get back into it. Dive into it. We're going to start looking at Acts next week. But today I'm going to take a kind of a highlight portion. I know that our text, our lessons, our assignment this week was John 15 to 21. I want to focus on John 15 today and talk about what it takes to make fruit. What it takes to make fruit. I think it's kind of important for us to get this down a little bit as Christians to make fruit. How many of y'all want to be successful in your lives? Anybody want to be? Okay, how many people here want to be unsuccessful? That's probably a better phrase. You know, I'll say, who wants to be blessed? Who wants to be successful? And we go, So who y'all want to be like dissed by God to be unsuccessful? All right, now y'all don't want that, right? You want to be blessed by God. You want to be successful, right? You want to have your life be one that honors him and a life that matters, I hope, okay? To do so, the Lord comes and he tells us about bearing fruit in John chapter 15. He's the one who teaches us this. It's important that we lean in a little bit to hear what he has to say to us, because this is important stuff. Sarah, this is stuff that literally is eternity altering, what Jesus tells us here. You see, because it's really important for your own spiritual sake that you get this down, Jody. This is important, because this can impact and will impact your eternal destiny. See, we too often in American churches, Western cultures, we're either saved or not saved, right? Are you saved or are you not saved? That's what we go through. And that's important. Don't get me wrong. Don't walk out of here and say, Pastor said it's not important. It's very important you're saved, okay? No, don't get me wrong. But I believe we kind of let down on the fact that how we live and the choices we make can determine so much more about our own quality of life now and what happens in eternity. It really does. You know, it's like, I'm not sure how many of y'all remember John Copta. He was the one who was on the power team. He came here, and the first time he was here, he preached a message to us, and he talked about when he was on an international flight. And when he got on the international flight, Kristen, he got on first class, and at the first class, they literally had their own whole seat. It was like a love seat. They had their own big screen. They had wash rags to kind of pat their heads, and they had like a full-scale meal being brought to them, right? And John says he thought that was for him. And the sorters went, no, you're further down. So as he goes to the next level, the seats are a little bit wider. It's more normal, though, but the seats are still pretty nice. And there's a movie screen right in front of you, and it's pretty nice. And he's like, is this my section? And she said, no, keep going. So I went back to the next section, and the next section was a little bit smaller, but at least they were broken up a little bit, a little more leg room. It was okay. And he said, is this my section? And she went, no, keep going. He got to the back of the plane, Belinda, and it was like literally you were sitting there like this for 12 hours staring at a small little thing that you can use a headset for, and you're like there for free. And he's like, when we landed, it was amazing. You can tell who was in first class and who was in last class. He said the first class folks walked off feeling refreshed. They had eaten well. They had napped. They had been entertained. They had washed up. And all of us back in last class, whatever you call it, we walked off. We were like, hurry up. Come on. Parents were grabbing their kids by the hands. They were getting their luggage. They were all right. You know, and his point was this. We were all going to the same place. But the trip sure was a lot harder for some and easier for others. And see, I believe that when we lean in on this, when we attach ourselves to Christ, when we learn these lessons and we live according to how Jesus teaches us, we will find that when we get to heaven, we're going to be a lot more refreshed. We're going to be a lot sharper. We're going to feel a lot better. And there's going to be other people that have lived their life, and maybe they say they were saved, but they really didn't attach themselves to Christ. They kind of were in and out and up and down and all over the place. They'll get there too, but boy, they'll be like by the seat of their pants, just by the what's barely holding on, right? So this is a big deal for your own sake, Jody. Learning this is a big deal. It's also a big deal for other people's sake because this will impact your ability to point people to Jesus. If we don't get this down, John, other people may not be drawn to Christ because you made a decision that you wanted to be in fourth class. You made a decision that it wasn't important to bear much fruit. It wasn't important to be in Christ. And because of that, it could be your wife, it could be your kids, it could be your mother, it could be your coworkers, it could be your neighbors. They've been looking at your life and seeing absolutely no change, no difference. What's it worth? So whether or not you lean in on this and grasp this could actually impact other people around you and their eternal destiny. And lastly, it impacts BOC's destiny and what we're called to do as a church. Because I think sometimes we get things mixed up, Pastor Jack. Now, I'm a firm believer that we got to do whatever we got to do to make this ministry strong and to take care of our church folks. But what we don't understand is this. There's not one example in all of Scripture that I can find. If you can find it, please show it to me. I can't find a single example of Scripture where there was an incredible preacher who grew an entire church all based on his vision and his focus and his ability and his talents. When you look at the book of Acts, you know what happened? Leaders were developed because God was doing something among the people in the church. It wasn't top down, it was from bottom up. It wasn't, and we do that in churches today though. We always think, oh, the church will grow because they have this pastor. Or this church isn't growing because they have this pastor. And we always like to look at the pastors and elders. And don't get me wrong, we have responsibility. I get that. But understand, churches get blessed and they grow and they thrive, Hunter, when God's moving among the people. We can't make God move in your life. But when God starts moving in your life, 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 all of a sudden, guess what happens? All of a sudden, God raises folks up because of what he's doing among the people. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Okay? So really, whether or not we get this, we lean in on this, and we get the fact that we got to be in Christ can impact your own spiritual destiny. It could impact people around you and their destiny, and it can impact BOC and our effectiveness for the sake of the gospel. Because when a church, whatever the name of the church is filled with people who are filled with the Holy Spirit, they never say, wow, the pastor did that. And they never go, well, it's the pastor's fault. This didn't. No, God's moving. God don't need the pastor to move. Don't wait on that. Now, there's many times I'm before the Lord and I want him to move in my life and our church's life. But that's because I'm not as the pastor. I'm just a believer in Jesus desiring his moving in my life. Pastor David, if every one of us in this church were on that altar begging God to move in our lives, don't you think he would do some incredible things for us in our midst? Amen? So this is important stuff, Bob. We got to lean in now. We got to lean in and hear what Jesus has to say. So let me start by giving you a quick illustration. If I were to come up here today and, Russell, I brought a bucket, okay? Kind of a bucket that maybe we would haul things up the ladder with, okay? Big old bucket, and I set it here. And in it, you know, yesterday we had a, I found out Kenny was a great gardener. We brought in the, what was it called? It was, not so much a crane, but the pitch, whatever that thing is out there. And poor David was trying to get underneath it, and he dug right into the side of the ground, and he pulled up the ground, but he pulled it up in just like a perfect chunk, and Kenny went over and picked up the whole chunk, laid it right back in. It was great. But if I were to take that chunk and stick it in the bucket, and then get a 2x4 that we were throwing off the side of the building yesterday and stuck it in the dirt, and then took an apple and took one of our drills and took a screw and drilled the apple to the board, do I have an apple tree? No, of course I don't. Why not? And Bobby's like, the picture is crazy. Why do I not have an apple tree? I have an interesting something, but why is it not an apple tree? What do apple trees do? They grow apples. That thing did not grow an apple, and it will never grow an apple. But we do this as a church, guys. The reason why that's not an apple tree is because it was not connected to something that gives life. And in churches, we do it all the time. We want to be these, well, look at me, I bear fruit. But we're trying to do it apart from the life giver. So all we really got, we staple an apple up on a board. It's not true life. Am I making sense? Okay? So here in this text, Jesus kind of gives us this idea about being connected and God being the gardener, and we got to be connected into Christ. And so I'm going to say it again for the fifth time, I think. I want you to lean into this, Dave. In other words, I want you to kind of focus in here with me. Let's lean into the words of Jesus and what he tells us. Okay? Because this is not too far before he gets crucified. So his teaching is getting kind of pressed right now. He's doing some teaching that's important. So not that any of his teaching isn't important, but as he gets closer, it starts to pick up a sense of urgency, Kenny. It's an urgent thing now. Jesus starts teaching his disciples. So let's look at this real quick. I just want to run through this with you guys about making fruit. First of all, I want you to notice why pruning is necessary. Let's start with verse 1. And this covers 1 through 5. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. So let's set that up. Jesus is the one who gives life. He's the true vine. He's the one that we need to be attached to. And who does the gardening? It's God the Father. The Father does gardening. Okay? Now, I'm going to say some things today that you may not like to hear, Angie. But I want you to understand that it's from Jesus, and he's telling us what the Father does. So if you don't like what I say from here, then your issue's not with me. It's with what Jesus said, but even if you have an issue with what Jesus said, you don't change it. These are the facts. As Ronald Reagan said, facts are a stubborn thing. You may not like things, doesn't mean it's not going to happen. All right? For example, Grace, you probably don't like the fact that by April 15th, your taxes will be due. That's something most of us don't like. But no matter what we like it or not, guess who's going to expect their taxes on April 15th? It's going to happen, right? So these are facts. These are what the Lord says. All right? And listen, you can leave this church and go to another church that makes you feel better, but that's not going to change the facts that are here. You don't get judged based on what your church teaches you. You get judged based on what God tells us. Hopefully, they coincide a little bit, okay? So let's look at this. Verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father's a gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so it will be even more fruitful. So understand here that he prunes so that we can be more fruitful. He takes those that are not fruitful, Tommy, he cuts them off, he removes them. Now, that may sound cold, but it's actually for the betterment and health of the plant or of the vine or of the tree. You see, dead, unproducing branches, they draw still on the resources of that vine just like every other branch does, except it gives nothing back. There's a difference here. It's not. It doesn't bear fruit, so we say, hey, what's the big deal? It is a big deal, because if you're a branch, Jessica, and I'm a branch, and there's nutrients coming from the vine, and I bear no fruit, but I'm pulling from that, I'm pulling nutrients that could go to you, but I'm giving nothing back. I'm not part of it. I'm producing no fruit. I'm doing nothing back. So I have become a detriment. I have become a draw, a pullback on the plant, the dead vine. So that's why they got to be cut off, Russell, because they're taken away from the health of the overall plant or tree. Now, this is important because sometimes God will do that in our own lives, won't he? He'll take some things away and we go, God, why would you ever take that thing away from me? He took it away because it was drawing nutrients away and it was killing you because you weren't getting the nutrients you needed. So he'll prune. He'll cut things away. He may take certain people out of your life. Don't chase them. Don't chase them. It could be he's taking them out of your life because, Shanita, he wants you to grow. And that person in your life has been sucking all the nutrients away from you that you need to have. So he will do that. I said, that's why they prune. Does that make sense? He'll also do it in churches. Sometimes he'll take folks away. He'll take ministries away because it draws all the resources out and it gives nothing back to the health of the church. And the Lord says, I want to bless my church, but it's getting really difficult to bless the church with this person and that ministry and this. I got to cut that away so now my nutrients can pour right into those that are going to bear me some fruit. Does that make sense? Yeah, shake your head. Yes, amen. Are we good? Okay, so that has to happen. But it says also here in this verse, Dave, that he prunes even those that are being fruitful. He will prune, cut some of that, because when we start growing too much, the nutrients are spread too wide and they can't get to every part of that tree. So you got to cut it back so then the nutrients can be more effective in where they're going. So even when you're doing everything right, Ryan, everything right, there could be some cutting. Could be some pruning to help make you stronger. Am I making sense? Understand, this is important, Faye. Whether you're producing no fruit and have to be cut away, or we need to trim you up so that you can get more of those nutrients. You're bearing fruit, and we want you to bear more fruit. Either way, notice, you're going to experience cutting. You're going to experience cutting. Either way, you're not going to be able to avoid it. The cool thing is, when you're producing fruit, you're being cut for the purpose of producing more, not being cut off and removed. Okay? This is critical for us guys to grasp hold of. Interesting, when he cuts us, understand he does it to produce more fruit. It doesn't happen overnight, but it will happen. I can't say I pruned anything, Marlon, because I am not good with plants. The last time I thought I was doing something with plants, I actually destroyed this like incredibly rare plant that was planted back in Philadelphia. My dad moved me. We moved there. And he said, go mow the grass. And I said, okay. And I saw this really weird, funky-looking thing on the side of the house. So I took the lawnmower. I just ran right down it, right? I just ripped it all up. Found out later some older member of the church had donated a rare plant to the church, and they had planted it alongside of the building. And, yeah, it was not pretty what my dad had to cover for me. So you may not want to look at me for the pruning part of things. But have you ever pruned something and you don't see the fruit right away? Maybe not till the next year or 2 years. And then you look at it and go, oh, man, I'm glad I pruned that. It takes time. But it's important. So we understanding, cutting is going to happen. It just depends on whether or not it's for your good or someone else's when you're removed. Also notice, too, that when he prunes us so we get more nutrients and get stronger, when he does that, he does it to bear fruit. There's other times, too, that gardeners will tell you. They'll take something that still has life, but it's gotten weak and gotten trampled, and they'll take it and they'll attach it to what? To a stronger branch until that branch can become strong itself. See, be careful, church, that we don't look at someone when they're not bearing fruit right away. They're bearing little fruit, you know, like little tiny little apples, not big old apples. Don't get impatient. They may just need to be tied to a stronger branch so they can grow stronger and then be able to bear more fruit. Okay? So that's why God does pruning. He does it for fruit, the purpose of that. Now, what is fruit? We can talk about fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. We can go through that. I also believe there's fruit is the evidence of God moving in our lives. And God wants to produce much fruit, and he wants to produce the fruit that actually brings glory to himself. So what are some of those fruits? Some of that fruit. Some of that fruit is having victory over addictions. Having a marriage that's restored. Having children that come back home and come back to the Lord. Be able to forgive somebody that you've never been able to forgive before. Having a heart for unsaved people. Caring about the persecuted church. Having a love for God's word. Desiring to be in his presence. Loving to pray. There's just fruits that come. And we're going to show some of the results here. But he desires you to bear much fruit for his glory. Not just a little fruit, Emily. Not just some. We get proud when God does a little something in our life. Why do we get so satisfied with just God doing a little something in our lives? When he says that his desire is to bear much fruit that lasts. And we settle. We settle for the little. Oh, God did this great work in my life, and we list one thing that happened 8 years ago. Really? Don't you think he wants to do more than that? Don't you think he wants to do much fruit in your life? That's what he desires to do. I'm going to go back to, I said, Jody, it's important you lean in on this because God has a desire to bless you, young lady. He has a desire to overwhelm you and to give, man, have you bear so much fruit that people are blown away. You will not do that apart from Christ. It will not happen. It's important to get this and to grasp this, okay? So that's why Jesus prunes. That's why God prunes. God's the gardener and he tends to us, Tommy. He tends to us. And he wants us to grow strong. There's things in our lives that need to be cut out. He'll cut it out. And there's things he needs to cut back so we can grow stronger. He'll do that. He does it all for his glory and for us to bear much fruit. Okay? All right, so the next time you're in an uncomfortable situation, don't blame God. Thank God. It could just be that that's some cutting going on that needs to happen. And 2 years later, you're going to look back on it and go, God, I'm thankful that you cut that away. So instead of questioning him, thank him by faith. He's doing something. He's doing something in your life. You can trust him. All right? Let's run through the second thing. The results of pruning. Of course, we talk about bearing much fruit. Verse 6, if anyone does not, run down there, talk about remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch, you'll bear much fruit. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. That means in Christ, abide. The word abide means give careful attention to. So how many of y'all give careful attention to God every day? Careful attention. That's what abiding means. Careful attention. Tending to it. Tending to it. Tending to it. Tending to it. Are you tending to your relationship with God? Are you tending to your relationship with him, Jared? Are you every day, are you tending to that relationship? Focusing on him. That's what abiding means. Okay? All right. Now, if anyone, verse 6, does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown in the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. Guys, look, some of the results include an incredibly powerful prayer life. When you actually are remaining in him, he remains in you, you are tending to him, he tends to you, you're obeying him, he loves you, you love him back, your prayer life is now going to start going nuts because how many parents do you love blessing the child that's in right relationship with you? Don't you love it was amazing. My brother used to say that that I was mom and dad's favorite. No, he was dumber. He didn't get it. I knew, Angie, that if I took care of my pops and my mom, they'd take care of me. How many of you have looked at your kids and go, you are so stupid? If only you would just do what I say. You know how much I would want to bless you? You don't have any idea how much I, and no, you want to do what you want to do and do what I say. Do you have any clue how much we parents want to bless our kids? Kids, you don't get it until you become a parent. We as parents desire to bless our kids. My dad's greatest, his greatest not fear or regret, but one of the biggest things he struggled with was he had nothing financially to leave his children when he died. Because you know what he wanted to do? He wanted to bless his kids. We parents love to bless our kids. Look, when you're right with him, when you're dwelling in him, when you're remaining in him, when you're giving attention to the Lord and he attention to you and you got this relationship going on, you can ask for anything in his name. And he's like, you got it. And notice you're going to ask for godly things because what are you doing? You're remaining in him. You're asking stuff that he likes to hear about. Can you imagine asking him to save somebody's soul? Do you think he's on track with that one? Yeah, he's like, Carrie, you're praying for so-and-so in your family to be saved? Yeah, I got that, because you're speaking my language now, Carrie, because I want to save all men. That, you know, I mean, when you're remaining in him, I mean, you can start praying, you can see some radical things happen. One of the reasons why we don't have power in prayer is because we don't have power in our lives. The reason why we don't have power in our lives is because we're not attached to the life source. We need to abide in him. Then we can ask anything. See, some of us take the scripture and we mess it up. We go say, oh, I can ask him for whatever to bless me. Now listen, if that's his will, he'll do it. That's great. That's cool. There's nothing wrong with that. But be careful. Don't just do something to get something from God. Be in him because you love him. Abide in him. Christian, the approach should be this. God, if you give me nothing, I'm going to love you. Oh, my word. Is he going to bless his daughter like that? Man, you know what I mean? How many times do your kids come to you, and every time they come to you, they just want something? They're being good. They're cleaning their room. You're like, ah, they want something now. They're cleaning their room. As opposed to somebody that does it all the time naturally, it's like, yeah, I want to bless that girl. I want to bless that boy. I want to take care of it. See, when you're in him, he desires to bless you. Like, is that making sense, Katie? It's powerful stuff. Parents, you all should be the most in love with Jesus because you should be getting some of this stuff as parents. You should understand this stuff. Kids won't understand this till they become a parent. And that's not a put down. My mama used to always say, you'll never know how much we love you until you have a kid. And I'm like, yeah, I know how much you love me. Then I had a kid, and guess what? I had no idea how much until that happened. Okay? So we see consequences. So we bear much fruit. We ask whatever in his name, and whatever we wish, it'll be given to you. And this is for what? For God's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father's loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. Remain. Abide, abide, abide. Stay. You get this thing going through here. And so this is the important thing. And we have missed it in churches today. We say if you say a magic prayer and you get dunked in a big baptistry, then everything's done. Go do what you want to do. You've already done what you needed to do in order to be saved. I'm here to tell you, folks, that this is a lifelong process of remaining in the Lord. See, that's one of the things I remember with gardening. Anybody ever done gardening? When you do gardening, you got to do weeding. You got to fertilize. You got to water. You got to feed. And you don't do that all just one time. You got to be doing it over and over and over and over. And then all of a sudden, fruit comes from it. But you got to be over. Nobody plants seeds in the garden, and tomorrow morning you wake up to an apple tree. Unless you're on Gilligan's Island and have radioactive seeds, and it's nothing like real, okay? We're talking about it takes time, Janine. So you got to be in God's Word. Got to pray. Got to repent. Got to forgive. Got to be in church. Got to be in worship. Got to be in fellowship. Got to serve. Got to be in his word. Got to pray. Got to witness. Got to be in his word. Got to repent. Got to be in fellowship. You just got to keep doing this. You got to keep remaining and remaining and remaining. And then much fruit gets born. Look, it ain't easy, but it's inevitable. It's going to happen if you remain in him. See, too many times our kids think, if I go to church and I read my Bible, then my life's going to be easy. And temptation comes, and they sin, and they fall away, because they don't realize that what they did when they were young, they have to keep doing it. You got to keep reading the Word. You got to keep being. That's why, hey, parents, listen to me. Some parents may not like hearing this. because this may mean your job gets longer, but when your kid turns 16, your job is not ended. Because your kid still needs to be in God's word. Your kid still needs to pray. Your kid still needs to be in fellowship. Your kid still needs to be in church. Your kid still needs to understand who God is. It's an ongoing thing. You're teaching, because fruit isn't going to bear in your life, mama and dad, unless you're faithful and doing it over and over. Well, then you got to teach your kids that. It's not something that just happens overnight. So we have this thing where we have this incredible results in the pruning that happens. I don't know about you, Diane, but yeah, I do know about you, Diane. I know you agree with me 100%. I would love for us to be able to sit down and just pray and say, God, I want you to heal Diane, and it just happens. Would that be cool? Wouldn't that be like just incredible? I would love to be able to pray. I won't mention anybody in this church because I don't want people to be, get upset or thinking. I would love to walk up to a marriage and say, husband and wife, you love Jesus? Listen, we're going to pray for your marriage to be fully healed. And the next thing you know, that marriage is like whole. Just pray it. I mean, that's why when you remain in him, he remains in you. You have this relationship. You can ask your father anything, and Father Abba Daddy is saying, I'm happy to oblige. Whew. Not for our sake, but whose sake? His glory. His honor, not ours. All right, let me wrap it up now. It's going down. How to abide? How do we stay connected? How do we remain in him? If you look at me at verse 10, it says, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. How do you remain? You obey. How do you remain? You obey him. You listen. You don't just say, God, I'll follow you today, but I won't follow you tomorrow. The moment you're living in sin, listen to me, the moment you give in to sin, the moment you live in sin, you're removing yourself from the vine. You understand that? You're removing. Sin blocks that. Jesus said, if you obey me, you'll remain in me. Not you have to obey me to get saved, because salvation only comes from the Lord. But when we are in him, what separates us is our sin. So you can be saved, and Mike, sin can still separate you from God. So obedience is what keeps us in him. So do you want a relationship that's blessed by God Almighty? Then obedience is at the cornerstone. Jesus said elsewhere, if you love me, you'll obey me. Obey. That's an evil word, Pastor David, in our culture. Obedience is one of them fighting words. You walk up to somebody, you tell your child, you will obey me, the first thing they do is buck against that. We don't want obedience. But that's how we remain in him. Why? Now, this is important. It's not because God just wants to, Tom, he just wants to make our lives miserable so you will obey me. There's a reason why. Continue on. I have told you this, so why? That my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. So I want you to obey me so you can stay in me so then you can have joy. And I'm going to have joy in you. Whew. He doesn't want us to obey him so that he can prove he's God and we're not. He wants us to obey him because he wants to bless us. That's his desire. That's his heartbeat. He loves his children. And when you love me and obey me, you remain in me, and you make my joy complete and your joy will be complete. Your joy will be full. Most of us have joyless lives because we're living in disobedience. How many of y'all have ever experienced that? When you're in sin, are you joyful? Now, you may be pleasured. You may be having some fun. But you're one miserable dude. You're one messed up girl. You ain't happy. You're not. You're getting what you want. You're having some pleasure at the time. But you don't have no joy. You're as unhappy and as miserable as all get out. And then you wonder, and listen, this is what happens. Look. Johnny and Janie fall in love. Johnny knows he should not have sex with Janie until he's married. Johnny was really someone that loved Jesus. And Janie fell in love with Johnny because Johnny was this joyful person. Johnny then gives in and has sex with Janie. Johnny is having fun. Johnny becomes a miserable dude, and then Janie notices how miserable Johnny is and says, what did I see in him in the first place? Because you just got changed because you decide to live in sin. When you're in sin, you're miserable. If you're not miserable, you ain't saved. If you're living in sin and you're okay with it today and you're just fine, you need to be at this altar. You need to repent because you are going to hell. The Holy Spirit will not let you be comfortable and happy in your sin. So I want your joy to be complete, is what Jesus says. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Jump down to 15. I no longer call you servants, but what? A servant does what? Does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends. God has called us. We didn't call him. He calls us friends, Bobby. Friends of God. Ain't that a hoot? Isn't that crazy? You did not choose me, verse 16, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that what? Will last. Much fruit that remains for a long time. Then, now notice, then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. See, we ain't bearing fruit and we're asking God to do stuff for us. And God's like, yeah, you got things mixed up here for you. My son, we need to have this relationship before you can start claiming those things. Then he'll give us what we ask for. When we are bearing much fruit, we remain in him. This is my command, love each other. Folks, I want to challenge you today. I don't know what God's plans are for BOC. I don't know what God's plans are for you. I don't know what God's plans are for your family. I do know this, God desires to bless us, and I do believe he wants to. And he does have a future for us, doesn't he? He has a hope for us. He has that for us. So today, if you're a born-again Christian, what kind of fruit are you bearing today? What kind of fruit are you bearing? Maybe you need to be pruned this morning. Maybe you're going through a painful time and you need to say, God, I'm going to stop fighting you on this. I'm going through a painful time because you are preparing me for something greater. Moses spent 40 years in the backside of a desert being prepared to lead God's people for 40 years in the backside of a desert. He sometimes, Kenny, would have you go through horrible times, but you don't get it. It's your training ground for what he's about to set loose in your life. But you ain't ready yet, so you got to go through this training time before you can go to that next level. Christians, will you trust him? Will you repent? Will you get rid of the sin? If you've been separated from God, if there's been that separation, will you repent today? Will you confess your sins? He desires to bear much fruit, Deacon John, in this place, in your life, and in the lives of all those you come in contact with. Lastly, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are already dead. You're dead today. Tom, you're dead. If you don't know Jesus Christ, if you haven't been attached to him, a branch cannot live by itself. You see a branch, you have it cut off the tree, you lay it down, all it does is wither up, dry up, decomposes, put it in the fire, let it burn. You are dead. You are not growing fruit. But I'm here to tell you today, if you repent, if you call upon the Lord, he does the supernatural thing. He uses gardening illustrations again in another text. He literally supernaturally grafts you in. He takes you, the dead branch, he grafts you into that which is living, and in time that which is living overcomes the dead, and the dead comes alive, and you bear fruit. Today you can be grafted in. All you need to do is call on him. Give up your selfish ambitions, your own desires, and the way you're doing it, and say, Lord Jesus, today I call upon you and you alone, Lord. Save me, graft me in, give me life. I trust you as my Savior. Call on him. There's no magical prayer. Just call on him. And Jesus says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Folks, I hope you heard the Spirit speak to you today. Let's pray. God, thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Thank you for giving us a reason to celebrate today. But Lord, forgive us when we always need reasons to celebrate, when you are always reason enough to celebrate. So God, I pray you would have moved in our lives today. Lord, I claim the promise that your word never comes back void. It always produces that which it was set out to accomplish, not because of the preacher. It's because it's your word. So, Lord, today I pray if there's folks in this room that need to be pruned, they need to be brought to life, Lord, that they would just submit to you and surrender to you and trust you. If there's those that are living in such sin that they're in danger of being cut off and removed, Lord God, I pray that they call out to you and say, Lord God, save me. Attach me to someone strong, but bring life back to me today. And Lord God, if there's someone here today that's a dead limb that knows if they die tonight, they ain't going to be with you. They're going to be separated from you. They're sinners. They know it. But today, Lord, I pray they'll cry out to you. And Lord, you would graft them in and you would give them the hope of life eternal and life abundant. Lord, you speak. Take away any flaws that I have brought to this. And Lord, help our hearts to hear your spirit. And let us respond, I pray, as we worship together in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me. Would you?